Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
We got a battle with the coffee machine going on. And look, I don't blame Gavin because I dealt with the same thing. It was like in the trash bin needs to be unloaded in that thing. I thought that I had fixed it. Evidently, I think there's another bin somewhere inside that like multi-million-dollar coffee machine that we
have. I thought you were the fixer.
I saw Fred working on it. It looked like he had it going the right way.
And he might, I don't know what's going on, but that thing's been, I haven't been able to get my espresso in today, Brian, and I'm agitated.
I think Dawson would literally rather not do the show if he can't have coffee.
Yeah, it's a good thing that we're off at 5:30 today.
Yeah.
Because I'm starting to get a little tired.
You're starting to feel it on a Monday already?
I'm feeling it. I got a case of the Mondays.
Oh, that's because you were partying so hard at the FIFA Fan
FIFA
Fest.
FIFA Fan Fest got a little out of hand.
Gosh, you were there for like all day.
Oh, it was so hot. Yes. And my buns.
Do they allow you to bring water in?
My buns were burning. I did. I was allowed to bring some water in there. Maybe I just went ahead and slipped it inside the pocket.
I was expecting to see
you with my water bottle,
like you did at the Cotton Bowl a few years ago, where you're going to have your sunglasses tan on your face, just etched in with the sunburn.
So here's the amazing part of it: when you walk in, you know how like typically you'd have like a hand sanitizer station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they've got sunscreen station.
Oh, okay. So you just lathered that thing
up.
So
he took all his clothes
like
off.
Like Charles Robinson.
Everyone was looking at me
Oxnard.
Like, dude, what are you doing, man? You need to go to the bathroom to apply it there. And I said, "What? Excuse me? I thought that this is what it was
Did they provide
for
a mirror for you to use?
There was no mirror. So I might have been walking around just like Charles. And I just had
Charles had
splotches
a large,
all over the place.
And nobody told him, right?
He just had it caked on his face.
No. I think he was going for that look. That was the look he was going for. Right
Dawson's
there.
Got coffee. What'd you
oh,
do?
He's got right. coffee.
Well, I hope that he fixed it. I hope the machine's correct.
I think somebody fixed it for him. That's my guess.
And we got this thing good to go.
Open that thing up because it said remove the waste basket.
Yes.
Pulled the garbage can out.
Okay.
And then I had to use another coffee cup to like almost shovel that out and throw that away.
Ew.
Dumped out a little bit of the very disgusting wastewater.
Yes. Yeah.
And then it's working again.
All right. Thank God.
Put it back together.
There
boom.
Go. There, we,
there
go.
We are. So my bad being late. But.
All right. So the waste bin is actually the trash bin that's inside of it. So we got to open it up. Okay.
Yeah. And here then you just got to flip up the little spigot there.
Flip the spigot.
Yeah.
And all
you're right. Good to go.
Without further ado, let's go.
There's no chance you fixing this thing.
Me?
Just what he said.
I think I could do it.
It just needed maintenance. You know?
It's all. It's just a little maintenance.
Wouldn't it feel like you were breaking it, though, if you had to open it? It feels like I'm about to break this damn thing, and I'm hearing it's like $15,000.
This spigot thing. Yeah, a lot going on.
I mean, it was a lot easier than I thought it would be. You know,
I'm glad you did it, though, bro.
Very intuitive. Yeah.
Okay, it's good to change a fuel pump in a car or something. Okay, the way you were dumping out the old gas, putting in new gas.
I was about to get you an Americano, then I looked at my clock, and I was like, oh, wait.
My guy.
That was clock with an L.
As soon as you said, just so everyone knows, as soon as you said spigot, I felt like I was lost. All right,
that's
let's,
what I'm saying.
Let's
I looked at you, you're like, oh, yeah, I know what's going on.
I can do this, Brian, okay?
I admit, have some faith. I would not have done it right.
No, I probably would totally F that up. I'm glad you got that taken care of. I'll hit the espresso machine after this break, but let's go ahead and get our football fix right after this.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Wrong side!
Left side!
Wrong side!
Left side!
I use these for acid indigestion.
So what are we gonna use these for?
Intimidation.
I gotta get my fix, man.
All right, this just in. This just in here on the news desk. You know, it's not a Newsbag Nation, Eric, but I did see this from Dove, which means that somebody else reported it, but Dove's just collecting it. I guess Terrion Arnold has been granted bond.
He has.
$1 million. And people are really praising his lawyer. I guess his lawyer's done an excellent job in this to even get him to where he is right now.
Doesn't have to wear an ankle thing.
That's the guy who's about to get locked up for kidnapping the wrong people.
Lions corner, former Alabama Crimson Tide.
Number one on a lot of boards.
In a lot. Yeah. I mean, I thought he was the best corner in that class. I'm glad
he's going to be catching passes from Paul Crewe here in a couple of months.
Yeah, he might be. As part of the conditions, Arnold cannot have any contact with co-defendants or witnesses. He must surrender his passport, and he must remain at home or work. He will not be required, though, to wear the ankle monitor, as you mentioned, Brian.
They didn't say that he had to not kill or kidnap any people?
No kidnapping.
They didn't say like Annie can't kidnap anyone?
No. I think that goes without saying. But maybe with him, you've got to specify.
I would just note that, you know.
Just community note it. Maybe eggs comes in
here. You sound
really
against this whole thing right now, don't you?
I just think it's one of the funniest stories ever.
It's crazy.
This guy tried to get payback on someone who stole from him, and he kidnapped the wrong people.
Bad scouting report?
Yeah, he got bad info. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, got to be a little more buttoned up than that.
Yeah, just a little bit.
I think he just got a penalty in this Seahawks game.
No, he's got a bigger penalty to deal with right now.
Yeah, he was getting flagged for a lot on and off the field. Three penalties already in this game. This was a bad one for him. I remember watching this one live.
Very grabby. I mean, you got to get with your lawyer and just try to plea it down as quickly as possible. You got to avoid life. You know, and then you got to try to get back before you turn, 29?
Mm.
Can we plea bargain it down to 5 years?
I'd like to.
What's possible here?
If he could plea bargain down to 5 years, it's a huge win. He should take that. But you're right. I think that's probably what his lawyer's going to end up having to do. So he looks very guilty.
Did you ever play the game of life? The around
times.
The board?
Yeah, you spin that thing.
Yeah. Did you ever have trouble getting the family in the car?
Little pegs in there?
Yeah, it just never worked. Mine were laying all over the car like they were in an ambulance or something like that. I mean, it never worked out well for me. I'm the guy, again, I told you this about the game of Monopoly. Just hand out all the cards and all the money and let's start playing.
Let's get this show on the road.
Let's not make this like a cricket match, you know, where it's going on for days.
Don't do it like a cricket match.
Yeah. I had to tell the kids there's no way I'm ever playing Monopoly with you.
Yeah.
You know?
It takes way too long.
Yeah.
Wait, you should ever start doing like the side bets and side gambling
deals. Yeah, I don't think I've ever finished, like actually truly finished.
Does it end? How does Monopoly even end?
Somebody quits.
Yeah, you won,
you
man.
Do,
yeah.
You quit.
You got it. It's inevitable.
You just, jeez.
Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't actually end. Yeah, somebody's just got to say,
I've refinanced every property.
When the Red Cross stops dropping supplies to you, then you're
like, and then a person be like, I'll give you $100.
Yeah.
Stay in the game.
Oh, stay in the game.
I'm good. I'm out, man.
I'm out. I'm totally out.
J.C. Treader, NFLPA director, is saying an 18-game season is considered unlikely for the 2027 season. So we'll have to wait for maybe 2028 to get the 18-game season a rocking and a rolling. But we did get big news for those of you that used to love, and we do love Mike Golic Jr. on the show, but Mike Golic on Mike and Mike in the morning. Well, the Golics left ESPN. They've been with DraftKings, I believe. Mm. They've been bouncing around. But now they are reuniting. As they put out this tease, let's go to Gojo here, calling Pops.
Hello.
Hey, what are you up to?
What am I up to? Well, it's been kind of a long day here. I was getting ready to soak in the tub. Your mother, she got this great new bubble bath that really...
I'm going to stop you right there. I should have been way more specific, and that is not a visual that I or anyone else on this planet needs. What I meant to say was, what are you up to from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern for the next few years?
Well, that's pretty specific. Why? What's up?
Well, I was thinking, you know, the last 4 years have been fun. We've gone some great new places. We've met a bunch of awesome new friends. But what if we went back home? What if we tried going back to ESPN Radio?
Oh, wow. Back to where it all began. That would be just like going home. That sounds pretty cool. Who would I be doing the show with?
What part of we didn't you understand? Me. You'd be doing the show with me.
I got to think about that then. Nah, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right, we are back starting this fall, 10 to noon Eastern time, the Golics on ESPN Radio.
We are back. Oh, I think it's awesome. And we love Gojo. He's one of our favorite guests. And I loved it when we got to have Mike Golic on the show at the Super Bowl a few years back. Brought the donut for him and everything. He's just a sweetheart. Those are just two lovable dudes. I'm excited for their return.
10 to 2, huh?
10 to 2.
Is it 10 to 2? Or
10 to noon, I think.
10 to noon.
Jeez. Nice two-hour show.
Wow.
2 hours.
Just crushing it.
How do you get that all in, huh?
Probably. Get that Norm Hitchcock life.
10 to noon.
150, 200K.
Who knows what that contract
couple
is.
Don't see what that hours. Budget look like, though.
Yeah. 10 to noon. That's not
what
bad
that
hours.
Budget do, though?
Crushing it right there. All right, five-star wide receiver Eric McFarland. He is committing to Texas A&M. A&M's got themselves another loaded wide receiver class right now. But also, just in general, their 2027 cycle is looking really good. McFarland, five-star recruit. He's joining a class that already has 6 5-stars on it already. He's a small guy, though, from Florida IMG Academy, 5'8", 180.
Hmm.
So he's fitting in line. It's like, I feel like we're getting shorter and faster. But twitchier.
Malachi Toney kind of deal.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, have you guys been seeing these college quarterback pictures?
Of John Mateer? Well, I've been
watching like the Manning camp. Have you seen any of that?
I haven't seen it. Are they broadcasting it somewhere?
Well, they're having like clips and stuff from it. Guys throwing the ball around.
I'm just seeing different photos. Arch, Mateer. Mateer
looks
Stockton.
Like he has gotten yoked, and he's changed his throwing motion. The ball is flying out of his hand now.
The Alabama quarterbacks. Like, I'm wondering, is this another one of these Ben Johnson Photoshop deals? Because these look like the most jacked quarterbacks ever.
Arch is a big guy.
Yeah, Mateer on Three just had a whole article up on him, so I know Mateer's is legit, and I saw some video of him throwing. He had to change his throwing motion because of the hand injury, but it looks like it's done him a benefit. I mean, Mateer, I might be buying into some of what John Mateer's been doing this offseason. He is looking good. Maybe he's finally healthy and ready
to
run.
But the Manning camp was going on. You know, Bennett went down there for a couple years. Back in the day, it's a lot of fun to go down there. And you have some big-time quarterbacks down there throwing.
Okay, let's talk quarterback here. This is great. Let's go to Tom Brady, who was on the Stick to Football podcast. And who does Tom Brady think threw the best ball?
Aaron Rodgers, where would you put him? Is he in the mix? Yeah,
loved Aaron. I think there's no greater passer of the football than Aaron Rodgers. It would be like someone kicking the ball. I mean,
it was,
there's certain people like, you know, Roberto Carlos, the Brazilian, the way that he kicked that ball. Holy. Yeah. I mean, there's certain people you're like, you see everyone do it, and then you see one person throw the ball that much better. I mean, Aaron Rodgers was incredible. He's hard to put into words how incredible he passes the ball.
Yeah.
The ball, the way it comes out of his hand, the way that it spins and delivers with the pace and with the accuracy, I think
it's like a bullet coming out of his
helmet. It's like a bullet.
Man, a lot of high praise there. And I mean, just as a watcher of sports and football, Rodgers was special. He is special the way he's able to throw it. I mean, we know
for sure. He threw one last year like 72 yards
crazy.
Or something.
Yeah. I mean, the Hail Marys that he's pulled off, more successful than any other quarterback. Now, Michael Irvin would say Troy had the best balls. But in your opinion, what quarterback do you think throws or has thrown the best football?
You'd probably have Marino up there, wouldn't you, Broadus?
Dan?
Yeah.
Brett?
The way he could spin it?
The way, he was incredible, and it was all really a compact throwing motion right around the ear. But the deep ball stuff with him and Clayton Duper, that kind of stuff, he was pretty special throwing that ball.
Okay, I just sent you guys, by the way. I think Aaron Rodgers would be the one.
Yeah, I would tend to agree.
In terms of like,
I can't stand Aaron Rodgers.
Over the last 20-something years.
Yeah, Rodgers is there.
Just purely throwing the ball, it's ridiculous. And being on the move, going to his left.
The throwing motion.
It's like a flick of the wrist. Yeah, yeah.
The different platforms, angles in which he can throw from. Absolutely.
I think Joe Burrow's pretty darn good throwing a football, too.
Yeah.
I mean, accuracy, no question.
Yeah.
Crazy thing about Rodgers is I think, you know, he would have been heading towards that realization maybe at 42, 43, I'm done for. I think it really happened when the Achilles tore, and the last couple of years have just been atrocious for him.
Yeah.
It's crazy how he built up such a reputation for being that guy that two organizations now have just failed to see it and continue to employ him.
Mm.
Yeah, how bad he is, like... Okay, so Warren Sharp's NFL preview is out.
Yeah.
And he's got a huge section on every team. It's the best $30 I spend every year learning about the NFL. But he compared the stats of Rodgers last year to what Russell Wilson and Justin Fields did in the previous year. And in most of the statistical categories that you measure quarterback from these days, he's not number one, you know? It's either Fields or Wilson who had more success in 2024 than he did throwing the ball.
I know the ones that when it came to accuracy back when I was, you know, in the 90s, was Aikman.
Yeah,
I mean the way that you know the slants, the screens, the touch, the downfield balls, where he put it, the placement, he just seemed so much better. Even when guys were covered, he put the ball where it needed to be.
Mm.
You know, so if you ask me that, like I say, I admire what Rodgers has done, no question. Different platforms and stuff, but Aikman's one of the best I've ever seen.
Yeah, this picture that you sent us, Eric, of the Alabama quarterbacks, I cannot believe is real. With Austin Mack and Keelan Russell.
Yeah.
That looks like that's got to be Photoshop.
Yeah, and Keelan Russell from Duncanville, just super high prospect, but I'm looking at these guys wondering.
That doesn't look natural.
Yeah, bro, you got to have like Decca in your system to get that.
Yeah, there's no way.
No way, right?
Yeah, yeah, okay. It's crazy.
Yeah, okay. I think that's got to be Photoshop. The Mateer stuff, like on three, you know, that's reputable source.
And even Arch's arms look huge.
Like them thighs.
I know the thighs. Okay,
the
good.
The thighs really did it to me.
I'm glad like, we didn't like, really run with this. Nah. We brought it up and
nah,
we were.
That's not going to work.
We knew that this was not real, but those guys look unbelievable.
They look jacked.
It does look like Arnold has been released.
Okay, so he's got the $1 million, so he can go ahead and pay for it. So there it is. Boom.
No. I'm sorry. Released from the Lions.
Oh, wow.
Oh, the Lions just released him. I thought you just meant from jail.
Yeah, I should have clarified that. Lions have released Tarrion Arnold,
move,
according
right?
to Adam Schefter.
Yeah, there you go. Get on out of here.
I don't think I'd approve bond if I'm judge on the legal thing. It's just like, man, this guy has some crazy ideas.
100%.
I wouldn't put it past him to try to pull off some like Leonardo DiCaprio, Can You Catch Me Now movie
sure.
plots.
That's why he's got to turn over his passport and all this stuff.
Really?
Last thing I wanted to get to from Brady. This is actually Josh Gordon, and he's on with Neon, who is a kick streamer. Now, he's also the one that had that beef with Nate Diaz, and Nate Diaz's people were chasing him, trying to beat his ass down, and Neon...
Sounds like a nightmare, bro.
Yeah, yeah. So, Josh Gordon's dude,
beat his ass down.
Puka was one of the guys that streamed with him, got in trouble there. All right, so here's Josh Gordon talking about Tom Brady when he spent a year in an offseason with the New England Patriots.
He made us live with him, bro. Like, it wasn't so much that he told us the story, but he made us, like, live with him in the offseason, like, train right there, his wife making us food and everything like that. Like, it'd be me, Edelman, and Gronk, or just him, and depending on who the offseason was, and we would just do the most crazy routine of, like, stand in one spot, and then you just, like, over at least 50 times, you just catching one specific pass, and it's a gun radar that is Alex Guerrero is his coach. Mm-hmm. Is just holding the gun like a speedometer for baseball or whatever. So just clocking if it stays at 62 miles per hour from a football. Meanwhile, your hands just taking a beating like
yeah.
boom, boom, boom. I'm like, what the f***? And he doesn't even gun, but yeah, nah. Oh. But nah, bro, that's about the craziest shit. He trains he's obsessive, bro. So
that's important.
That's
though.
The craziest
I tell
shit.
Him
how hard people prepare. Mm. Yeah, be like, you're not really ready to go all in.
It's different, man. That's how you become the best. The greatest of all time. He's having his wide receivers living with him in the offseason. Wife, he's cooking. They're going out there practicing every day. Tom Brady, just a different type of dude.
That's why she loved, too. She's cooking for the friends.
Yeah.
I'm Tom Brady, man. Get somebody in here real quick. Cater this event.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
DoorDash this thing.
I just got back from taekwondo practice. Now I got to cook for these fools.
That's right. We got to run. Time for the C note. I'll give you the Warren Sharp takeaways on the Cowboys from his NFL preview and more headlines from America's Team coming up next year to the G-Bag Nation and the fan.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Nation. It's time for the C note, Cowboys News of the Evening. The segment is brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Okay, Warren Sharp NFL preview is out. Read the Cowboys chapter over the weekend and noted the most interesting things to me. Warren projects to see the number one largest overall increase in schedule difficulty by a mile. They're also going to have the number three increase in difficulty of run defenses faced and the number two in difficulty of pass offenses faced. So, wow. You know, hopefully Javonte Williams doesn't, have any trouble producing as much as he did last year, but the number two increase in difficulty in pass offense face, boy, your secondary better be significantly better or that could get embarrassing. How do you offset that? I think is the question, or do you think they will be able to offset that?
Specifically to the pass defense?
Yeah, the run defenses faced or the pass offenses they are going to face. Do you think they've done enough with the roster to make a bigger impact than the schedule difference will, from one of the five easiest schedules to the second most difficult?
Preparation will help. Preparation will help a lot. This guy can I think he has an idea how to dial it up. And I mean dial it up like he could sit down and kind of look at what you're trying to do with him or trying to do to him. Now, I just think if the Cowboys struggle this year, and I've said it earlier, I've said a bunch of different platforms, I felt like that if they do not have the ability to take from classroom to practice field to game field, mm-hmm. and we start to see that all of a sudden it's not a cerebral secondary and it's not, you know, they're not football smart not at linebacker. And they, you know, there's some things physically they're going to get beat on. But if they're a team that is not capable of doing all the things that this defensive coordinator wants them to do, they're going to struggle. It doesn't matter if it's Joe Namath or Troy Aikman or whoever's throwing the ball against them. It doesn't matter. That's the thing that they struggle with so badly is just those huge plays. But they were just so out of place.
100 non-explosives. Yeah, and I think it was probably smart of them to get the Cardinals' secondary coach, Ryan Smith, as they signed Jalen Thompson. And Christian Parker has worked with P.J. Locke, so hopefully they can smooth out that learning curve a little bit for you. But I think the biggest one would be takeaways. And with Diggs and Bland at the height of their powers, I think we were imagining at this point in their careers we would have the best takeaway duo at corner in the entire league. That's how they drew it up. But how it turned out is – the Cowboys' defensive touchdown interception ratio last year was the fifth worst of any defense in the last decade.
Wow.
Oof. Okay, the Jets were at 36-0. The Cowboys were at 35-6. And yes, it was one of the worst takeaway defenses in pretty much the modern history.
I mean, they couldn't even get like pass breakups for a while.
Yeah, they hadn't touched the football in the first month of the season.
I think they've got the personnel. I think they got the personnel to do this.
Okay.
I really do.
Really?
I think they do. I just don't feel like I say, the only thing that could hold them back is everybody they brought in the type of guy that is capable of lining up in the right spot and kind of they're asking a lot of their guys to like this play man and a half, play gap and a half. You know, they're asking a lot for that to have to happen. So I think physically they could be fine, but can you marry everything to that? And that's the thing that kind of worries me. Do you actually see them out there playing? I think they've got the players, the right players. I just don't, like I say, how football smart is everybody going to be is going to be the biggest question we're going to have.
I like their chances of having the right players, especially because what Brian said, you have the horses up front to play that style, to play that mm-hmm. technique. But I think if you have injuries on the back end, you quickly fall off a massive cliff. You quickly get back into how bad it was last year, potentially.
At corner, for sure. I think they did a good job of safety. You know, real. I mean, and I've said that, and you mentioned, you know, the P.J. Locke, you know, he's got comfort with Christian Parker. They know each other. Jalen Thompson's clearly a player that they identified, comes over with Ryan Smith. So, like, the brain work thing that we heard all offseason, I'd like to think CP's not saying, yeah, go get Kobe Durant if he doesn't check off that box for him. But then some of the guys that are carryovers, whether that's Bland, whether that's Revel, whether, you know, some of the other guys, there's Reddy Steward that are still on the roster previously. I mean, all we would hear about is Malik Hooker's your smartest player in the secondary. Well, I mean, now what is he? Is he still number one, or has he dropped down to four or five now? But at safety, they should be good in that area. Corner's the one that I would still have a question.
Okay, that's enough about the defense, at least for now, because there's some fun to be had on offense. And I would say this, you know, section is why they have to keep CD and GP together. Not only does it give you an offensive identity, but it makes you very good on offense in ways that we haven't seen. You know, sometimes for Dak's career, other times for this entire century, as the offense was the number one most efficient early down offense for the Cowboys since the turn of the century. 25 years, most efficient early down offense. The offense averaged the number one lowest punt rate for the Cowboys this century.
Nice.
Wow.
The offense averaged 2.6 points per drive, the second most efficient offense for the Cowboys this century. The only place Dak wasn't significantly better in 2025 was EPA per play while throwing from outside the pocket, which I thought was interesting. Isn't Dak a good throw-on-the-move guy historically?
At one time he was.
Is he not anymore?
I don't think he wants to. I don't think he wants to get out of the pocket.
Yeah, I think it's more of a slide and find the base and throw. I don't think it's the things that we've seen, the waggles, the boots, those are things part of it. But those seem like the dump offs. I know there was some times down the red zone where he made some really good throws moving to his left. But I, you know, like I said, him running and making throws, you know, it's probably something he's not as interested in doing as he once was.
Man, the Jailblazers might be back.
I wasn't sure how you'd feel about this one.
The Grizzlies are trading two-time NBA All-Star Ja Morant to the Trailblazers for Jeremy Grant and Chris Murray. So that's fascinating. They're keeping Denny Avdija.
Yeah.
And Damian
best
Lillard.
Player, right?
Avdija's probably their best player. Yeah. And we'll see. I mean, Ja Morant at the height of his powers, I think, could have something to say.
Those two could be good together if he can get back there.
About that, yeah, that is quite an interesting piece of breaking news as this NBA puzzle starts to fall into place. How much did play action help Dak Prescott in 2025?
I think a lot.
Yeah,
he generated 51.9 EPA. On play action passes his entire career before last year, he had generated 35.7. What? Oh, that was just from 2020 to 2024. So in the previous five seasons, he had generated almost 36 EPA from play action. Last year, it was 52.
That is insane, dude.
Well, I remember, I think he recently spoke, and somebody asked him about working under center, and that was an emphasis for Shoddy. Like, we want you, because I think of the play action game, but also, like, we had heard sometimes, think there was a knock on Dak Prescott. I think you even talked about this early in his career where, you know, as soon as for other quarterbacks, not just Dak, but you turned your back to the defense.
Yeah, that was a
right
big, yeah.
Afterwards.
That was what they were kind of worried about him playing under center. That was he able to, like, take the snap and then get back, but turn his back to the defense and then find where everybody is.
And last year he proved he made great strides in that area.
He made great strides in that. Absolutely he did.
He had a total of 568 play action dropbacks before 2025, averaging 0.06 EPA per attempt. In 2025, he had 173 play action dropbacks and averaged 0.3, five times better. Yeah. So I think that not only goes to the volume of it, but it goes to the Pickens impact and it goes to the design of your offense just being better. Okay, when will the Cowboys stop being so penalized? They did finish the 2025 regular season with 133 accepted penalties.
It'll never stop.
Right? It never will. It doesn't matter who the coach is.
No, you could talk about it all day. And you could talk about the various coaches that have been through there, and it just won't happen.
They rank number one for offensive holding.
Yeah.
It's been this way for multiple seasons in a row now.
Yeah.
False starts. They did say the Cowboys, this is from Warren Sharp, the Cowboys have the notoriety of ranking number one in two discipline-related categories, averaging the most unsportsmanlike conduct and unnecessary roughness penalties per game last season, a major contributor to their overall elevated per-game average. And I don't even think of them as like a big hitting team or a team that's going to set the tone physically. They want to become that team. It's not like they're even getting bang for the buck. Like, they're not a feared physical team. If you're going to be playing unnecessary roughness and late hit game, then I want you to strike fear into your opponent at least.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Give me some trade-off for being the most penalized team, please.
But I need to feel like I'm watching, like, the Steelers or Ravens from 08.
Did you feel like, though, that the roughness stuff and things like that was due to, like, discipline, like in the pocket of quarterbacks?
Ooh, yes.
That, like, going low or hands to the face or around the head.
There's some that I think can be ticky-tack calls, but others that, like, certainly Sam Williams has had
Sam
a few.
Sam Williams always
like,
comes to
doing?
Mind, yeah.
You know, that's a bonehead stupid penalty. A
couple of George Pickens ones as well.
Yeah.
But if they could just eliminate those, and that goes to just not putting the team first, if they could just eliminate those, they would fall back closer to average in the league rankings. We got Krusty's Corner coming up next. Brian, where are you taking it?
Yeah, I've got some training camp questions for my guys. We'll do that next.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is time now for Krusty's Corner. Here he is, the former Cowboy scout, brought us
Hey, hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's gonna teach you 5 new words!
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Appreciate you playing that. As always. Guys, before we get started, I do want to play, like I say, I have questions, but I want to make it a form of a game. You know how I always like to make it a game. Not keeping score game, but always like to get your opinion, come up with different ideas.
Participation trophy game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, participation trophy game. That's okay. But we've seen now in this World Cup stuff, I wanted to ask you this question. If you were a fan to experience this way, what's the worst way to lose one of these matches? And I say in sports, extra time, Hail Mary, the walk-off, or the buzzer beater. Which, as a fan, would you feel is the worst way to lose a sporting event?
I feel like it's the soccer one. The extra time, just like sort of ambiguous. Like, oh, all of a sudden they get more time now. Here we go. Oh, they're close enough. We're going to just let them play it out. At least I know in a normal sport when the game's supposed to end.
I think the stoppage time goal has a good argument because at any moment you're feeling like we could take this ball and go downfield and score and win it ourselves.
Sure.
And we're just moments from... overtime, basically.
Yeah.
But man, the Hail Mary just seems so unlikely that when you actually do lose like that, like Duncanville,
mm-hmm.
it's just are you freaking kidding me? What did I just witness?
Yeah, the Hail Mary. I'm with you. I think, but what if, what about like an own goal? You accidentally, like you're passing it back to your own goalie.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, like, yeah. They might cause you to lose your life.
Yeah. Yeah, for the goalie especially.
There's like an own goal situation. That's how you lose in a World Cup.
Yeah.
That would just be
like scoring in the other hoop for the other basketball team. I just came like, are you kidding me?
I think I would rather get blown out though, Brian. I'd rather lose late than get blown out.
Oh, okay.
That's
what
I meant to say.
See,
cuz that's the worst way to lose it is when you never have a chance.
I feel like this extra time, and I understand what you're saying, Chief. But man, you play this whole match, and you're just, and then all of a sudden it's down to, like, they score like Brazil today scoring, you know, South Africa yesterday
that's just such a gut punch.
Late score, and you're just sitting there for, you're sitting there for 90 minutes, your team's hanging on, and you had chances, then all of a sudden you're like thinking. I mean, we've seen a lot of goals in this World Cup that have been extra time goals.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm kind of like, as a fan, I would think that would be the worst way to lose. Just sitting there all day and all your team just in the last minute just decides that, oh, geez, you know, we gave it up here. So
I'm used to not being the better team in these U.S. soccer situations. So losing at the end would be like, man, we hung in there.
Yeah.
Right,
you know,
right.
Kind of like the Philadelphia-Dallas game in week 1. We were all kind of like,
moral victory.
Yeah, all right. And then they played like garbage against
best
the Giants.
Ever.
Giants and won the following week. All right.
Yeah, it was ugly.
Vach and I played a little game or had a discussion this morning. We had a game called, well, we call it Lookout or Look Out. Okay?
Okay, so which one are we looking at?
Just an inflection change?
Yeah. Like, hey, look out for this guy.
Or
look out, just get out of the way.
Got it.
I mean, get out of the way. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Look out.
Look out. Hey, look out.
Mm-hmm.
Or look out. Like, you know, you're trying to fix a car and you move the guy out of the way. Just get out, move out of my way.
I like
you
it. Know?
Well, Chuck with his thespian background is going to be great here.
Okay. Crush this.
Yeah. But the way we play it, the way we play the game is we didn't go for like star players.
Oh.
We went down the line, guys. Like you know, like, hey, man, you know, look out, or look out, you know, that.
Look out for this guy.
All right, so we'll go with the thespian first.
Oh boy,
how about this one for you, Woolchuck? Jay Toia.
Oh, my Haka brethren,
look out, or look out.
That's a look out for Jay Toia.
Think so?
Yeah, you know, I think that they kind of brought some guys in that are going to bury him down the depth chart a little bit. And I still think that he can be a solid player, but I think he's going to be fighting for playing time with guys like Otito Ogbonia, Bullard, who they brought in. I wonder if, like, Overton, the rookie fourth rounder, even is a guy that kind of fights him for snaps. So, you know, I still like him, but he's a prior draft regime. And he's a guy that I think they've brought in some similar body types now to where it's like, okay, what do you do differently? Mm-hmm. What's going to be something that you're bringing to the table that's different? So it might be tough to get him on the field.
How about you, Dawson? Is that a, hey, look out or look out?
Look out for this guy at the LAX about 3 weeks into camp. I just don't think they carry that many big guys like that.
Do you think he's like the round peg in the square hole kind of a thing? You think he's that guy?
Is he not a gap and a half type of tackle?
I just, to me, it's a 320-pound guy, but it seems like, are they really, is that what they're trying to do?
Are they trying to get your old school nose more, don't you?
Yeah, I think he's more like a gap. I mean, everything's like, this might be a two-gapping guy. I didn't see anything to really make me. Christian Parker was talking about we need guys that play square, don't get turned. Mm-hmm. Take up blocks. I didn't feel like there was a lot of times last year where J2EU was taking up blocks, and I don't think he ever played square, completely square. And I wonder if this is one of those, we're kind of keeping it around guy, but if you don't show anything, LAX airport, I can see that. How about that, Chief? How about you?
Yeah, I agree. I'm not expecting much in the way of production or on-field presence for this guy.
Gotcha.
And what Wolchuk said, bringing in Ogbonia and is it Bullard?
Yeah.
Bullard's the new guy.
Yeah.
He's got some competition.
Okay. How about this one? Let's go with you on this one, Chief.
Mm-hmm.
Reddy Stewart.
I think that would be like a positive lookout.
Like oh,
like he can be serviceable for you.
Okay.
Yeah, like getting with Christian Parker. Like he wasn't amazing last year by any stretch. Nobody was in the back end of that, but he looked competent enough to think that with Christian Parker, I think that he could be a guy that's on your roster.
Dawson.
Yeah, I think I'm more with Chief because I like his competes. I like his toughness, but I don't know if they have another small guy that they want to play inside.
Mm-hmm.
And he got enough experience last year, right? Is this his second year?
With the Cowboys, yeah. Two years out of Troy, right?
So he's practice squad guy, then he played with the Cowboys last year. I kind of like him. Look out for Reddy Stewart.
Okay, look out.
Look out.
How about you there?
I'm looking out for my guy, Reddy Stewart, here. He was probably the bright spot of the defense last year if you had to pick somebody. Now, if Kobe Durant and Caleb Downs take that role.
Yeah, that's what I'm – here we go.
And you start to get into a numbers game.
Here we go.
Can he still make the roster?
Here we go.
Special teams?
I'd say no, but can he fill the C.J. Goodwin role?
That's what I'm saying. This is where I did this. I went, look out, and then set it as a defensive player.
Ooh, okay.
But – Do you make it now? Do you take over the role? He is a tough guy. He's a smaller guy. I kind of feel like that they were doing things in the OTAs and minicamps where they were putting other guys ahead of him.
Mm.
So it made me feel like that they were saying, look out, just move over here. And then we're going to put others, but can you develop into the C.J. Goodwin role or can you be one of those guys? That's kind of where I felt like.
I felt like we've talked about with this nickel star situation, like these guys, Hamilton and James and M.N. Worry, they get this reputation for they never leave. But in truth, they're down there about 40% of the time.
Yeah.
And you need different packages to put in there to handle different personnel. And I just think Reddy's unique enough.
Yeah. I think he's got some – he clearly was one of your better players in the secondary of a bad secondary group. Which made me kind of go, I could see why you guys said, well, look out here. Because smaller guy, tough, all those things, probably fit right in. How about this one? How about Sam Williams?
Look out. I love it. I love it. You know, I think what his plan is with the defensive line can free up Sam Williams, I think, to be more aggressive. And I think you're going to have to get creative with him and maybe not ask him to, you know, do some of the stuff that Rashawn Gary is going to do because he's not that kind of a player. But if we're freeing up linebackers to get to the quarterback with simulated pressures and this guy could come free or this guy could be a one-on-one, I think Sam Williams still has a lot of potential athletically and, you know, could produce you 5 or 6 sacks in an ideal year.
How about you there, Wooly? Sam Williams.
Look out.
Okay.
For Sam Williams as your potential gunner on special teams.
Okay.
Damn, he looked good doing that a couple years ago.
My gosh, can he do that at a high level? I'd love it if he actually finally was able to click, but I just, it's kind of, I think Sam is who he is.
So you're a lookout.
I'm a lookout for it. Yeah, if he didn't make the roster, I think that'd actually be a great thing because it means somebody else stepped up and booted him somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, physically, you just love him. He's extremely impressive and explosive and strong, and he can be a disruptor. But I just think the more you reduce his role, the better he actually is. And, I mean, he doesn't have a Micah Parsons to play across.
Mm.
You know, like there's nobody that, other than Quinnen Williams, there's nobody that I think offenses are going, oh, my gosh, we really got to throw double teams this way.
Yeah.
So unless just schematically they're opening up and he's a free rusher all the time, I just don't think you can trust him.
Final one real quick, guys. Nate Thomas.
Yeah, look out.
I say look out.
Look out for Nate. Nate can play. Let's go. Come on.
He can at least be serviceable.
That's
I mean, I don't think
right tackle in 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a starter right now, but big picture, he's a depth piece that I want.
So you Shelton two, and Thomas.
Okay, so we got two. Look out.
Yeah.
Or, and Dawson's up. Look out. Just move.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. You want depth that's quality. He's strong. He played, and he didn't totally embarrass himself every play. But I want my depth guys to have more upside, Brian.
Okay.
I don't feel like he's got much of that.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, Brian. Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. It's time to talk some hoop, Chief, as things are cooking out there.
A lot of stuff going on in the association. Let's hear from new Mavs head coach Dusty May and then all your NBA free agency news and rumors next in the nation.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.